Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast. When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Lies, feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Maybe this will change as we get further into the week. But I realized some things. With the call we got from TJ, I don't think we've gotten one call about the Super Bowl. Now, maybe it's just simply because why call when it doesn't involve your team? But most of the conversation has been about, of course, CJ Stroud. We'll get to him. But when TJ called in, he wanted to talk about how Bill Belichick should take this one on the chin, not getting in because of all the cheating. I guess we just care about our teams, which makes some sense, or maybe it's just because this thing is juiceless. We'll talk a little bit about that later. I see your call, Keith, in early for this show. You want to talk some NFL. We'll get to that, but I think the story I'm most focused on is not necessarily the trade deadline as a whole, but what appears to be the Rockets' approach to standing pat. We'll play some sound from one of the many NBA insiders. And there's always tiers to this. Like, we hear guys who are reporting on things they say they've heard, but are just vague innuendos that anyone could come up with, and you start to question whether what they're saying is real or not. And then you get, you know, the Chris Haynes level, the Shams level, where they're actually saying these deals are imminent. There are levels to this, and we'll hear from one of the guys who's probably not tier one, but he is reporting that something about the Rockets we'll get to. And if he's correct, I think it's a mistake. Let's hear from Jake Fisher, one of the guys who's probably in tier two to tier three of NBA reporting, particularly about transactions. Here's Jake Fisher on what the Rockets are planning or not planning to do around the trade deadline.
Nate Arrington asking, what about Houston? I have not heard the Rockets are actively involved in anything right now. Not Kobe White, not Ayo Dosunmu. Not anything else. I think the Rockets are definitely standing pat at this juncture.
If that's true, it's a mistake. I'm not talking go big, but we're talking about a year where your only potential addition is hoping Fred VanVleet comes back. The Rockets should assess themselves, look at their roster, and look at what they've done so far and say, we're not good enough. This team right now isn't good enough to go do the thing we want to do, and that's go win a title. You acquire Kevin Durant to win a title. Are you good enough to win it this year? If you believe the answer is no, make a move. Whether it be one of the guys he mentioned, Ayo Dosunmu or Kobe White. Hell, Trey Jones is on that Bulls roster. They got so many guards now. They're gonna send out a guard to someone. And whether that guard winds up in Minnesota, because while they're chasing Giannis, they still need a guard. They jettisoned Mike Conley for multiple reasons to create space under the luxury tax. Maybe they just save money for their owner, or maybe it's the move to get Giannis, or maybe it's a move to get a guard. Minnesota's one of those teams you're competing with in that second tier of Western Conference teams who believe if things go their way in the series, they can get to the finals. If they're active, you should be active too. We know this team has a problem at the guard spot. It showcases itself deep in the fourth quarters, and you look at how they deploy their roster in the fourth quarter. At points, there's not a point guard on the floor. And while a point guard isn't always needed because you have Kevin Durant and Alperen Sengun as ball handlers, we see at times those guys throw the ball away. I think you need help there. Unless you believe the next 35 to 40 games or so will help Reed Sheppard get to a point where he can, or maybe it's Aaron Holiday, whoever it is. And that's the problem. I'm guessing. We're nearly 50 games in, and they don't really have an answer in their backcourt. So if there's an answer out there, go grab it, as long as it's at a reasonable price. I'm not saying Trey Tar Eason, but if you want to attach a first-round pick to Jayson Tate for a guy under contract or someone you believe can be part of your long-term window, even if it goes beyond Kevin Durant, I hesitate to talk about long-term windows. I think an NBA roster has a three-year shelf life for the most part before financial constraints and just maybe failing in the playoffs change the way you change your roster. Why are they standing pat? You don't waste the year that Kevin Durant is producing if you have an avenue to get better. I think it's a mistake. We'll see if Jake Fisher is right or the Rockets surprise us between now and the trade deadline tomorrow afternoon. But as it stands right now, despite people's belief that they should add a guard, they don't appear likely to add a guard. I really hope it's not, hey, we think Fred's going to come back, and we hope our guy who hasn't played any basketball coming off an ACL injury is going to jump right in and be ready to go for the intensity that is the NBA playoffs. We know the energy, the competitiveness steps up in those playoffs, and it's Fred coming back from an injury going to be a full go when they need him the most. So if you like this Rockets team, good, because it looks like as it stands now, this is the team you're going to see when they get ready for a playoff run. I don't think it's enough unless there's some improvement I haven't seen yet from their backcourt. Keith, we'll get to you when we come back. We'll do some NFL stuff. Of course, we'll talk about the rest of what's going on because trades are being made. Teams are being active, and we talked about it yesterday. James Harden is on the move. He is a Cav. And while we knew that was happening, the interesting part of it is the guy he's joining really wanted him, which is always funny, because if you want a guy to come in, that means you're fine with the guy leaving. So Donovan Mitchell really wanted James Harden, which probably means he knew that I know a guy he professes to love, Darius Garland, was on his way out, which if I'm Darius Garland, we're having a conversation. We'll talk about that when we come back, and we'll get to you as well, Keith. We're just getting started here. Join us, 713-780-3776.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olivea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olivea.
So I asked Sean a question about whether he believed James Harden yesterday, and he emphatically said no. Well, James Harden got to talk to Ramona Shelburne, and we'll see if Sean or I believe this rebuttal to like all the speculation. I will say this. You know what flies in the face of James Harden saying he didn't request a trade? Which, you know, Giannis is playing that game too where he doesn't actually request a trade, but he makes it known that he wants out. The reporting that came yesterday where the Clippers were shocked and surprised that he didn't want to be there anymore. So, okay, maybe he didn't request a trade, but he let it be known that they'd probably be better off if they traded him. We're all just playing word games here. We'll get to that. The Cavs and the Clippers made a trade, swap point guards, and other trades happened as well. But let's get to Keith. He wants to talk some NFL. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale. While you're on the topic of the Rockets, I think, you know, they need a guard. They definitely need a guard. I think Javon Carter, who was let go by the Bulls or someone else a few days ago, is a good guard to add. Definitely deserves minutes, especially with the thin backcourt the Rockets have. West Virginia, you know, he's bounced around the league, but he's a proven player in this league. So I think they should look at just signing him off the street for free. In terms of the NFL, this week is not a lot of Super Bowl buzz. I feel like a lot of buzz is around how Fanatics has completely ruined the sports merchandise market, you know, with all these partnerships, and the quality of the product is so bad, and the jerseys are bad, and the fans are upset, and the prices are outrageous, and, you know, Michael Rubin's throwing these parties, and, you know, the party can even date back to the demise of C.J. Stroud when he attended. But how can we go back to the old jerseys, and why does Fanatics have to do this, and why are they sending out tweets that are saying that they're sorry, but the quality is still bad?
I almost want to not talk about the Fanatics thing. Just to toss a Keith topic aside, I just feel compelled to because I'm in that mood. But we'll talk about, mostly because he mentioned Javon Carter. It's his bit when he does the street free agent thing. Javon Carter's not going to help the Rockets win a title. I'm talking about a guard who can help them win a title, which may be out of the cards anyway because they're maybe just not as good as OKC.
Is Coby White going to help them win a title?
I think it may help them win a series.
Yeah, that's it.
Javon Carter's not helping them win a series.
Yeah.
They just play. They got Javon Carter at home, Aaron Holiday. What do they need Javon Carter for?
The real one, and this isn't, you know, part of Keith's bit because this guy has been way too good in his
Mike
career.
Conley?
Yeah, it's Mike Conley.
That will be the guy.
that's the actual, like, hey, he's definitely going to just get bought out. And
yeah, if they were going to sign a Bulls cast-off,
yeah,
it would be Mike Conley who was traded to the Bulls yesterday. Okay, whatever. Let's get the Fanatics thing, yes. They are apparently ruining sports merchandise. They've apologized to the fans who've bought their stuff. They issued a statement Monday through social media, as a lot of people are getting Super Bowl related memorabilia and things to wear, and it all looks like crap. Fanatics has been a part of what people think is the demise of baseball's uniforms. People didn't like when Fanatics got involved in that. I'm not moved either way because I don't really buy a lot of sports branded stuff. But I did see someone tweet, since Fanatics has kind of taken over this market, that he's bought like five or six things, and not at any point were any of the letters centered on the stuff he buys. So, yeah, Fanatics doesn't make a great quality product, and they've admitted to it. I don't know that it'll change. Keith asked me why it keeps happening. I can't answer that question for you, Keith.
They sign all these deals that the official whatever of
they're not competing
the NBA,
anyone.
NFL, NHL. Like they have no reason to get better.
Yeah, they can apologize, but
why should we ever
is
get
quality
better?
Control going to get better if they have a monopoly? It's the same reason why people have yelled about Madden for years. They have the deal, the licensing deal with the NFL. They can do whatever the hell they want. They're not competing against anyone. Competition makes you better, right? That's what they say. And if you don't have anyone to compete against, you can just throw out whatever you want. And Fanatics is in that mode. I don't know that the Michael Rubin party ruined C.J. Stroud. How many things are we going to point to during that offseason to say this is what happened after the 2023 season and why he's no longer good? Michael Rubin party. We've got I forgot her name.
Amber Rose,
yeah.
We got podcast
putting himself in the top five and number three.
We have the world tour with Micah Parsons.
Sure, all those things people can point to. I don't know what his problem is, but whatever it is, what we did learn yesterday is that everyone, and we probably already knew this, everyone is in a headlock when it comes to quarterback talk because people were having discussions about his haircut. I don't know that any other position, like Fromberg did the thing with his hair that was so stark, so people noticed it. The pitcher out there, one day he didn't have the long braids, the next day he did, the extensions he put in. Okay, we noticed that. But a haircut that a quarterback got in the offseason got, let's say, too much attention.
Especially because it's not like the Joe Burrow.
It's not a dyed blonde. It's like a regular old haircut. He just cut off.
Just cut his dread.
And then there, and you get it, and I kind of didn't want to get into it and explain the difference between dreads or twists or braids, whatever you want to call them. But look, he doesn't have long hair anymore. Whether you thought they're dreads or braids or twists, they're gone. And he's got a shorter haircut. Some would say a more professional haircut.
Mm.
For like if he had a corporate job, this would be a haircut he would have. He does not have a corporate job, but CJ decided to cut his hair, and that's probably the end of the discussion for me.
You're,
I don't know.
So you're saying he's getting ready for LinkedIn? That's what you're saying?
I mean, maybe he's following him. No,
updating the resume?
I'm not saying he's already updating the resume because he doesn't think he's going to be a good quarterback. Fernando Mendoza won the Heisman and had a LinkedIn page. So, no, I'm not suggesting that CJ's going into the business world. I'm just saying he got a haircut, and that's the extent of the conversation for me. I don't think it means anything. I just think, hey, the man's had in some ways a very similar hairstyle for multiple years now. You go, I want to change.
I think it's good. I think it's a good time to reset.
I don't know if it's good or it's bad. I just know it happened.
I mean, it actually doesn't matter, Dale. I'm trying to have fun with it.
What's I don't know. My thing is, I don't get why it became a thing other than, hey, he put it out there, or the hair, or the stylist put it out there, so it became a thing people cared about. It's fine. He got a haircut. I know it's a drastic change for some people.
Yeah.
For the most part, all you care about him is when he wears a helmet anyway, which is also very funny to me. It's like, yeah, but you know what? We really only care about him when he's got a helmet on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And congratulations. Everyone likes the cut for the most part, it seems like. So it's better than the alternative when everyone's like, oh, made a mistake. From what I can tell, people who seem to care like the cut. So good for him. Hopefully, whatever happened in 2023, that offseason gets fixed with the new hair. And we're back to talking about C.J. Stroud as a good quarterback as opposed to the one we're wondering whether he's worth any contract he might get. All right, what else happened NBA-wise? Vucevic gets traded to Boston, so they get their Porzingis light.
Yeah, yeah. They have a type.
Yeah.
Jaren Jackson got traded for three decent first-round picks and
pretty much Walter Clayton Jr.
Yeah.
Kind of the only
like a
thing.
Young guy who's like, fine.
Yeah. The Jazz may be attempting to actually care about winning again. They may start trying. Lauri Markkanen, Keontae George, Jaren Jackson Jr. They may actually start to care about winning basketball games now again. They may be done. Although I will say, not this year. They'll tank this year because this is a good draft. But next year, wherever that pick falls, next year plus what they've done, because they still have their 2026 pick, then they will start to care. I think this year they'll say, hey, Jaren Jackson, your toe hurts, right? A little bit. You sit down a couple games. Lori, now they have multiple talented guys. They can sit down, so it's just not the one that makes it really look bad.
It's also like Jaren Jackson wasn't like costing the Grizzlies too many wins. That's, you know, it's not
true.
Like
he's a good player, yeah, he's not some franchise chasing. If he plays, this team's gonna win 20 out of 30 games to finish out the year. So he goes to Memphis, and it's probably signals John Morant. If they can get a deal done, he's gonna be gone. So they'll get rid of Bane.
Yeah.
Triple J and John Morant in a matter of months. So we went from the Grizzlies being the next young team to a team that's going to do a rebuild. I guess built. What I saw was they really like Cedric Coward, who's a nice player, and Zach Edey, who doesn't really play this year.
I mean, they have to say that. Like, yeah. They have to be like, we believe our future is, and look at the roster, our last two first-round picks. That is our future.
So they're good at draft. They've proven they're good at drafting young players. Finding good players in the draft, and then they just screw it up. At least this time around, they just screwed it up. Whether it be mostly Ja screwed it up, and then they got rid of Taylor Jenkins, which didn't help their former coach. And since that point, it's been a disaster.
It is like oversimplifying to just be like, what went wrong with the Grizzlies? It's like Ja Morant from 2022 to 2024, just that stretch, it all went wrong. But that kind of is just what happened. Like, all these guys are still good. You know, like, the pieces that didn't work together, it's like, no, Dylan Brooks kind of figured it out. He's been good basically since the Shams Charania. The Grizzlies will not have him back under any circumstances. Desmond Bane's still good. Jaren Jackson Jr. got traded for 3 first-round picks. It really is just like, yeah, this didn't work out because our main guy just didn't. Whether it's because of the off-the-court stuff, the fact he's not available, and the fact that he's a diminished version of who he was in 2022, like, all that coming together, it's just, yeah, party's over. But now we have to put out there that, hey, the future of this team is Zach Edey and Cedric Coward, so the people of Memphis don't get upset at us. We have to still dangle the carrot of, like, yeah, hey, look, though, we still have young talent. Zach Edey, come buy a jersey from Fanatics.
The big giant.
Maybe it'll be spelled correctly.
The big, maybe. Edey's not difficult. It's only 4 letters, but you never
Memphis
know.
Memphis also, I could see that going wrong.
Yeah, definitely. Certainly not centered on the jersey. Zach Edey, who's a giant man with lower leg injuries, so that will never come back to haunt
him. No, but he's the future of the Grizzlies.
Yes, played 11 games this year, the future of the Grizzlies.
That I saw that report. My first reaction was just a smile. I'd be like, of course you think that the guy you just drafted and the guy you drafted the year before. Yeah, that of course that's your future. You have no future if not that.
Yeah, they have picks. They're fine from the Jazz because it's not all the Jazz picks. It's a pick from another team the Jazz acquired a pick from. So it's all very convoluted.
I think there's one that's like it has to be outside the lottery. Like it will be an outside the lottery. So 3 first round picks and you're like.
There's always
are any of these like that great
like
of picks?
Protections on them and yeah. So
there's one that's like 2031 Suns where it's like okay, I can at least see that. I can see that being valuable.
Yeah, you get it, but
it's
you also
far enough away.
Well, we talked about it before that you also give the other team plenty of opportunities to not be terrible by the time that rolls around. So who knows? But yeah, it'll be the Cedric Coward show because Zach Edey ain't playing basketball for a good long while. So that was kind of the major trade. Speaking of injuries, we'll hear from Kevin Durant when we come back, mostly because it's less about him giving an update on his own injury and more about Kevin Durant. We see what you're doing. You're another one who's certainly captivated by Kay Adams. Like, considering what he did after talking to Kay Adams to a somewhat prominent podcaster, at least for people who love the Rockets, you know, there are 2 sides to Kevin Durant. There's the side who talks to Kay Adams and the side who tweets at other tweeters when he doesn't respect their opinion. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay.
So let's hear from Kevin Durant. He missed the Rockets' last game with an ankle injury, but he did give an update. Very, very. It's in the midst of what you might call pseudo flirting. We've played him on Kay Adams before, but here's Kevin Durant giving an update on his ankle as he talks to Kay Adams.
I'm at the stadium. Am I going to see you this week?
Yeah. I doubt it.
Why?
I'm questionable.
Okay. We're questionable for Super Bowl 60. Are we questionable for games? Because I saw you miss that, the last one with a left ankle sprain. I want to know how you're doing.
I'm doing better. We'll see you in the morning.
Yeah, are you well enough to like dance to Bad Bunny halftime?
I haven't listened to Bad Bunny before.
I feel like I saw Usher with you, who you had listened to before at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and you did not dance.
I'm not a big dancer, but you know, Usher is definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, you shoot jumpers in the club. No dancing in the club.
Exactly.
Kevin Durant, probable now. He's been upgraded to probable, by the way, since he talked to Kay Adams. So he'll be back in action very soon.
I think he was saying he was questionable for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I heard that part. And then he goes, I don't know. We'll see you in the morning.
Okay.
He is now probable to play against the Celtics as the Celtics come to town.
That really was just a I'm going to the Super Bowl.
Are you
going
to be there? Yeah.
Like the Kay Adams, like every interview is like
this. It's like this, yeah. Like, there's always an undertone.
Yeah, and there's no like the actual substance is like, what did I just listen to? Like
I heard 40 seconds of two people doing a thing, and then he mentioned, "Oh yeah, I'm going to wait for the next morning to see if I'm able to play again." So
yeah.
The next morning came, and he is expected to play. So that's good news.
There we go.
He only missed the one game.
No Bad Bunny. He still hasn't listened to Bad
Bunny. I don't know if that's a pro athlete thing, because Zaire Franklin was being interviewed on the Joe Budden podcast. He's a pseudo regular with them. He's friends with those guys, and he said he's going to use a halftime show to go take a break because he didn't listen to Bad Bunny either. So,
wow.
I don't know. Bad Bunny, big superstar, of course. All the stuff surrounding Bad Bunny performing at the Super Bowl. So much stuff surrounding it that there's an alternative. If you'd rather listen to Kid Rock,
Zaire Franklin.
Yeah,
tune in.
No, he said he always like waits and watches the Super Bowl halftime show, like Kendrick last year and stuff like that. This is the first time in a while he's going to be able to just go off and do whatever for like 25 minutes.
That's most of my Super Bowl experience.
Yeah,
most of my childhood, I was like, who the hell is this guy?
Because he was like, I watch the game, I like the commercials, and then I watch the halftime, so I don't get a break through the 4-hour experience. He goes, me, this time, Bad Bunny's on, I'm going to go do something else.
Zaire Franklin, you don't need my advice, but you can skip the commercials, dude.
I mean,
like the commercials.
You can watch them now, actually. You don't have to wait for the game.
The commercials, A, stink. B, you can just watch them now. Like, I don't, they roll them out like 2 weeks ahead of time. It feels like a miscalculation. What brands have done with the Super Bowl commercials feels like they don't understand what made Super Bowl commercials amazing. You know, like now it's just like, well, we need to get as many celebrities as we can. Bonus points if it's some reunion from a movie or TV show from 25 years ago.
Yep, nostalgia and play. Yep.
At some point, we have to work in Doritos or, you know, whatever. A Buick or something.
You know what? I miss the Bud Bowl. I love when they put helmets on Budweiser's bottles and then Bud Light bottles, and they play the game.
Yeah. I'd
take that over a Puppy Bowl right now.
Think of all the best ones. And it's like, it's just it's more simplistic. Like, there's not like a celebrity cameo in every single one of them.
Our most favorite ones don't really involve a celebrity getting paid an exorbitant amount of money to show up for 30 seconds.
It's three people I've never seen before and haven't seen since going, what's up,
that
into
one,
a telephone.
Or the frogs.
Yeah.
The Budweiser frogs, whatever they were doing. And then the Bud Bowl was obviously a promo for the beers and stuff. But they had a quarterback who had a name that was similar to an NFL quarterback, but of course not exactly his name. You'll throw a pass.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. That was fun. Now it's too convoluted.
Now it's like, oh, Selma Hayek is selling me a
Buick?
Yeah, Chevy Volt.
Yeah, or you don't even know what they're selling.
Yeah, or you sit there and you're like, wait, what was that?
You have to go back and watch again to figure out what the hell they're actually selling. So Zaire Franklin, while we shouldn't and don't really give advice to NFL linebackers.
No way you listen to this?
Yeah, but if you happen to come across it, you can watch them all Friday and Saturday before the game. And if you want to take a break between, because he said, of course, as a football player, he's going to be locked in to the game. You can, once they go to commercial after Drake May's been sacked again, you can just go off and come back once Seattle's possession starts. It's fine. Not a big deal.
Yeah. It is funny that the Super Bowl is just like it is juiceless. Like, it just, I'm not really looking forward to anything in particular.
Yeah, I have a deep-seated hate for the Patriots, so I want them to lose. But I'm not emotionally invested now. I mean, of course, we'll all watch the game. That's just what it is. But now, whatever. I don't know anything anyone said so far. I do know that Drake May's shoulder was a little sore, but he's back practicing. So I guess, cool. But other than that,
he won't miss the Super Bowl.
Yeah, odd. He'll find a way to play in the game. Look at that. Drake May, toughen it out.
They're not going
to
start. Is it Josh Dobbs? Yeah, Josh Dobbs
yeah.
in the
Oh, you
Super
know
Bowl.
It's Josh Dobbs. I talked about it yesterday. We are one win away from a Josh Dobbs podcast 5 years from now. And the cryon saying Super Bowl champion Josh Dobbs. Then you have to remember, when did Josh Dobbs win a Super Bowl? Oh, yeah, he was on that Patriots team who lucked into the game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean,
There's
just nothing.
We'll get to the game and go, okay, the game's on.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to wake up Sunday and and think, oh, yeah, the Super Bowl's today. That's all. That's how it's going to be.
Yeah.
I hope to wake up around noon. Don't need to get up early mornings on Sundays. It's part of my my mission. Don't get up before 11 on a Sunday.
No alarm on Sunday.
Exactly. So hopefully I'm up at noon and I'll realize, oh, yeah, after a breakfast that's really lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, the Super Bowl's today.
Right. I do like that they start at like 5:30.
That's great.
I do like that they bump it up because there's nothing else on. And if there was anything on, people would stop watching it immediately to watch the Super Bowl.
And of course, TV shows on that day have done their thing to kind of get around the Super Bowl. Night of the Seven Kingdoms is starting at a different time to let everyone watch Super Bowl. Then, hey, come watch our show as well, HBO Prestige TV.
Did they do that? Or maybe it just never lined up where they're on in February. Did they ever do that for Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I don't know if it ever aired at that time.
Yeah.
So I can't speak to that.
Because I was going to say, like, I wonder if, like, peak Game of Thrones is like, F it.
We're Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's like, watch this.
Yeah, oh you want to watch Tom Brady win it? Oh, like, they're like, 28-3, huh?
Yeah.
Everyone's gonna come over here.
At halftime of that everyone's Super gonna Bowl, come they're watch like, us. Load it up.
Yeah,
load it up.
In fact, let's get it on early. Why are we waiting? In fact, that's the mystery why Lance Zierlein left that Super Bowl. He was in Houston. He was getting ready to go watch Game of Thrones. He didn't watch the comeback because he had to get out of there.
He was watching it on HBO Now or whatever it was back then.
Yeah, whatever it was. All right, we'll go to break with that. Number 713-780-3776. We'll talk some Astros. We'll hear from Dana Brown because Dana Brown, I'm comping him to Matt Damon. And you ask me why? Well, I'll explain it when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the Astros got through some bookkeeping yesterday. Yiner won his arbitration case, so he gets $4.5 million. They agreed to a deal with Isak Paredes to avoid arbitration. He gets paid. Congratulations, Isak Paredes. We hope to maintain a relationship with you. Hopefully you don't get traded for what they deem is a need in their rotation when it comes to pitching. I mean, this show is staunchly in favor. Hey, let's do the Christian Walker thing.
Yeah, just either dump him or just can you just sit on the bench?
Or that too.
Wait for one of these guys to miss 6 weeks.
Like, which we know will be coming.
Yeah.
Like, we know this is going to happen. So
I don't know why we only need four infielders for four infield spots.
I don't know if you've heard. It's a glut. They have a glut, Sean.
Okay.
So sure. $9.35 million is what Paredes gets for 26. And there's a club option for $13.35 million in 2027. So Paredes gets his money. Congratulations to him. But he's not the only bat the Astros are looking for. And I said going to break that I'm going to compare Dana Brown to Matt Damon. I'll explain it after we hear this from Dana Brown. He spoke yesterday to the media.
I would say that we are definitely in the market for left-hand bats, and we're still continuing to be in that market. We're working hard every day to see what we can add. And so if there was a left-hand bat that was available, I would say that we were in on it.
So what's the comp between a general manager and a Hollywood actor? Does anyone know the next big movie that Matt Damon's going to be in? You know what it is, Sean?
Well,
not The Rip.
It was just The Rip.
But what's the big?
Is there another one after? Oh, The Odyssey.
Dana Brown's Odyssey is getting him getting himself a left-handed bat. I've been hearing about this left-handed bat thing for years. I heard it earlier this offseason. In fact, I just typed in Dana Brown left-handed bat. He said this in January. It's late January, January 24th. He's back on it again. He's been talking about grabbing a left-handed bat for probably the last 2 years at a minimum. It's like Matt Damon trying to get home to his family.
Yeah.
What a journey that should have taken a couple months took like over a decade. I forgot exactly the timeline for the Odyssey, but it took a very long time for him to get home. This is what Dana Brown's on, still with the left-handed bat. Really wants one.
My conspiracy is
he doesn't actually want one. He just keeps saying it.
But it's a good, like, because we talk about GMs, and I mean, Dana Brown might be actually the gold standard of this. GMs just saying stuff.
They're just out there saying stuff.
Like, you just, hey, I'm available to the media. I just have to say stuff. And I wonder if Dana Brown purposefully is like, oh, let's have a need in my back pocket that I can, so I don't have to talk about like things I'm actually working on, things that are actual needs, yeah, whatever. Because those might actually cost me my job if I can't deliver. If I just say, ah, need a lefty bat, man, just still looking for Mr. Right at left-handed bat. We're looking for that. That's all we need. It's like,
yeah, probably
3 years.
Complaining about your inability to get a starting pitcher what is going to upset people more, yeah, than your desperate need for a utility left-handed bat that can fill in at different spots in your lineup in your infield or your outfield. Probably it's an easier way to go, hey, we're still trying to improve the team, but we're not desperate because the rest of the team's pretty solid, but you know, a left-handed bat would be fine.
Yeah, it's like a little nice little, hey, but it's like, whoa, you did try to get Dylan Cease and just like couldn't, and then had to settle for guy who didn't pitch in Major League Baseball.
Stop.
And that's Mike Burrows?
That's not what we're on right
okay
now.
Okay, that's, but we don't need that check mark.
Yeah.
number two, replacement for Framber Valdez.
I don't know if you've got heard it. We dipped into Japan. I don't know if you've heard.
I've did hear that Anjin Jim Crane has
Anjin. I love a Shogun reference.
He took one visit to whatever, talked to Daikin people and was like, hey, pretty good players you have over here.
It wasn't It wasn't what the Dodgers were doing. No, when he took a trip over there for business opportunities.
Had to see with his own eyes.
Yeah, well, I mean, we watched those two guys win a World Series. He could have seen that with his own eyes, too. Particularly Yamamoto, which is like our favorite thing on the show now because of what he was on.
It's probably, if we did superlatives, it would be the most impressive thing of the last year.
Yeah, I don't care what happens in the Super Bowl. Sam Darnold, the comeback story, Drake May winning in his second year. Nothing's better than what Yamamoto did in the World Series.
Unless someone breaks their leg and keeps playing.
Like Terrell Owens?
Yes.
But break it the day of the game?
Yes.
And keeps playing?
None of this is going to be more impressive.
I would agree. Let's get to, speaking of the Super Bowl, let's get to a man on Radio Row. We have not done really any Radio Row stuff, some people think, the station for that. I know the Radio Row interviews aren't loved, but hey, when we got a special guest who's calling in from Radio Row, we have to take the call. What's up? Live from the Bay Area, Raheel Ramtanali.
What's up, Dell? How are you, man? I am so excited to be joining you to talk about the Super Bowl from Radio Row via Richmond, Texas. So here's what's happening.
Via Richmond,
I am at
Texas.
Radio Row. Yeah, yeah, I'm at Radio Row. This phone call was patched through the Bay Area.
Okay.
And I'm actually just doing it from Richmond, Texas, where I live.
Understood.
There is a lake, which I guess could be like the Bay Area, sort of. But I'm excited to be joining you, brought to you by Your Heritage Film, yourheritagefilms.com. Make sure you get a documentary on your family, because if there's a documentary on penguins, why isn't there one on Nana?
Before you go on, I know you can't hear it, but it does actually sound like you're being patched in through San Francisco from Richmond. Where are you right now? What's with this connection?
I'm driving, and it's on my phone. Oh, okay. Is it that bad? I can call back in and get patched through.
Yeah, you know what? Let's get you on the ISD in line. Call back. We'll get you when we come back. We'll go to break.
Okay, let's do that.
It's great. We can go to break on time. We'll be rejoined by Raheel Ramtanali.
Yeah. And My Heritage Film, which I know he wants to talk about.
Well, of course. Well, I mean, we'll let him get that. Well, he got about 25 seconds in. We'll let you get in your little rundown of all the things you need to say, and then we can actually talk some football. That's what happened with Mark Schlereth last week. Maybe that's the bit he's doing right now. Let's go to break. Thank you to Raheel. We'll come back to you with a better connection. We'll get you on the ISDN line. I remember those things. The quality was great. We'll see if it sounds like that when we come back. Sean and I, hour one done, hour two, starting with Raheel when we get back.
ESPN 97.5.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.